I'm recording on my end.
I'm gonna try a new mic today.
Okay. I'm not.
Don't record that, though.
Don't you die on me. That would be super awkward.
All right, and that was the JC Tone podcast.
That was the last one we're gonna do, because Brian's dead and I'm emotionally scarred. So,
oh my goodness!
Condolences to all the listeners. But here's the audio of a man dying.
The first half was great, right up to the point passed away on me.
That's right.
And what makes me even madder is he never got to the point. I was waiting for the point, and I'll never get to that.
Yeah, he said, you know what, Blake? I've finally figured out life. I've finally figured it out. Really, Brian? Tell me, what's the meaning of it all?
I figured out a way we could all have the guitar tone that we'd ever want for free. I just figured this out, and let me tell you how to do it.
I sincerely hope you're recording all this.
I am. Yeah, well, I'm rolling, dude.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. Clifford Stoll. Do you know who that is?
Name sounds familiar.
Okay, so he's a guy that, like,
but I can't.
He's a guy
it.
That I think he wrote for Newsweek. He's a scientist or physicist or one of those types of cysts. And he had, like, predicted that, like, the internet was not going to be big. And, you know, why in the world would people buy online rather than a bookstore? Like, stuff like that. Like, he kind of predicted all this stuff, but in a negative way. But that's...
He basically said the opposite
of
everything.
Yes. So, but anyways, why I bring that up is because in... You know how you watch something which leads to another thing, and it's this big rabbit hole, right? So next thing I know, I read like one article which led to another thing, which led to another thing, and next thing I know, I'm watching Clifford Stoll videos. Stoll is S-T-O-L-L. And the reason he's famous for that, but he's a really, really just high-strung older guy. Like he's probably like in his 70s. But if you gotta watch like his TED Talk. He did a TED Talk, and that's what started it. Because I watched it, I'm like, "Holy crap, that's me in like 30 years."
Oh no!
He's just like all over the place, rambling, and he goes from point to point to point to point, and like never hits on a topic. And I'm like, "That is me.
Hey,
that is exactly me."
I've found it. I found future Brian, or you found future Brian,
rather.
That's fascinating. I'll have to check him out. That's really funny.
I would. I mean, if I could put that talk in this podcast, I would, or at least part of it, I would. But copyright stuff, I can't. So you're just gonna have to look for the Clifford Stoll TED Talk. So, anyways, it's
okay.
It's fantastic. If you want to see what I look like and act like when I'm in my 70s, that's the thing. That's the guy. I will
investigate, and then I will also attempt to find myself in my 70s.
Yeah, that's easy. You just be some old man like, "Get off my lawn, you little whippersnapper," and I'm trying to do squats here.
I mean,
you know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm trying to
do squats, you little whippersnapper. Shut up.
So I should basically go find – I should just go to my grandpa's house, I guess, is really what I should do.
Maybe so. I mean, if your grandpa's, you know, breaking out some heavy iron in the weight room, you know.
He's been known to do said
No
said
way.
Things on
your
occasion.
Grandpa pushes iron.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's in pretty good shape for mid-70s. I forget which 70 he is, but he's doing
your grandpa's in his 70s.
You know?
Your grandpa's in, dude, that makes me depressed. My parents are in their 70s.
Well, I mean, like you're almost old enough to be my dad.
No, I'm not. You're old enough to be my brother.
It feels that way. Yeah, my dad's in his early 50s. So
really?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
So I'm right in between you guys.
Oh, yes, exactly.
You know, I mean, if your dad had a kid that when he was 10, then, you know, I'd be that kid.
Awkward.
So anyways, yeah, that's I just had to bring that up. If you look at that, if the people listening look at that and imagine it about guitar tone, you'll totally see what I'm talking about. Everybody I showed it to, they're like, "Oh my gosh, you're right. That is so you in 30 years."
I'm going to be checking this out. I'm excited.
Oh my goodness.
Oh man.
So any great
Sorry, everyone. I'm trying to work out my morning kinks. I had to get up early. I know everyone cares about this. It's like it's a personal vlog or whatever.
5 a.m. But,
I had to get up early to smoke some ribs.
Smoke some
for,
ribs.
My mother's birthday, speaking of more family members of my own.
Wow.
So
you smoke ribs for your mama?
If mama says smoke ribs, I'll smoke
those ribs.
You know
what my kids do for me? Give me pains in my back and my butt. That's what they do for me. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, they actually do, though. Teenagers, yeah. Teenagers are about that. Yeah. Back when I was a kid that age, we didn't have stuff like that. So anyways.
You didn't have teenagers
We didn't have teenagers
kid.
Back then. I was.
I'm sure you were just an angel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
me too. Yeah.
So totally. I did get a new gear. I don't know if I talked about this yet. I got a new gear purchase a couple weeks ago. I don't know if I ever mentioned it, but it's a Kelly pedal. Am I saying that right? Kelly Electronics. No, Keeley. Sorry. Keeley.
I mean, I was like, never heard of Kelly. This is a new brand. Oh, you got yourself a Keeley pedal. What'd you get?
Excuse me. I got a fat. What's it called? The super fat
mod.
Yep. Yep.
Nice.
So, and I got it because like I'm a big fan of like the Blues Driver circuit. And Robert was telling me that it's kind of it's basically like the Blues Driver circuit, but with his mods. And I always liked that mod that he did. So I wanted to try it out and. Kenny Stein, actually, from the Gear Group, actually gave that to me for Christmas. I thought that was a really nice gesture. That was awesome.
Well,
and
thanks,
I can't believe,
Kenny.
I mean,
thanks.
One of our listeners sent me a pedal for a Christmas present. What about the other that couple thousand of you? What'd you do? Nothing. Nothing. Ungrateful. No, I'm kidding. No, but seriously.
I mean, let's be perfectly honest. Do we really deserve?
No, I was surprised. I thought he was loaning it to me, and so I sent him a message the other day. I'm like, when do you want this pedal back? And he said, "That's yours, dude." I was like, "It is? Wow. Okay, thank you. I didn't get you anything, but that's awesome."
Well, thanks, Uncle Kenny.
Exactly. Oh, but so yeah, so. That was a cool new pedal purchase, or not a purchase, but a new pedal acquiring, I guess you could say. Been working on a little tube amp circuit with a gain stage. Trying to figure out exactly what I want to do there.
You said tube? You broke up. Skype roboted on me for a minute.
So let me go slow for you. I have been working on a tube amp design with a gain channel.
Tube amps have gain channels?
They do.
Wow.
So, I mean, at least the one I'm working on does. See, because we got like the Bravado, right? Which is basically a clean platform, doesn't break up a whole bunch. So I want the opposite now. I want a clean channel, of course, but I also want something that gets the grind and... Well, you know how my brain works. I don't want it to be a Marshall or anything like that. Like, so I'm kind of starting from scratch, which is a little odd. Just because I approach things different. Sometimes when I do that, I'll send it to, there's a couple of different engineers we work with who have a lot more experience with tubes than I do. So like, for example, I can send something to Bruce Egnator. I can mention that name. I can send something to Bruce, and Bruce would be like, "That's kind of weird. What you did here, I don't think that's not gonna work right in the long run." I'm like, "Oh, okay." You know, because he's been doing it for years and years and years and years and years. So there's like there's like little tricks and stuff that I can do. Well, I'm sorry, little tricks and stuff that I think is a little trick, but to someone who's been doing it for 30 years, like, yeah, but when you do this, this problem, the, you know, the prefalumated amylite has a problem with the malleable logarithmic casing, you know, so you don't want to do that because the two spurring bearings, well, they'll be in a direct line there. So, and that messes with the pantometric fam. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, I thought it was all about that fam. Yeah, yeah.
That sounds like, you just sound like you were describing aligning the electrons so they properly flow through the crystal lattice to me. That's all I understand. That's all I got out of that.
Sort of. See, the crystal lattice is really, really similar to the hydrocoptic Marzo veins, okay? But the ambulation laner vein shaft can side fumble, so you want to prevent that.
Wow, this is all just fascinating. You know, I want to add like my own spin on this, but all I can think of are tired old sci-fi tropes, so I won't go there.
But anyways, so yeah, so that's the tube amp thing. I wouldn't call that a purchase, but it's a fun little toy I've been working with. You know,
that is cool. I'll be very interested to see what comes of that. I'm trying to think if I have anything new that I can talk about. Oh, I made a oops.
You did.
Did I tell you? Yeah. I was like, I'm going to restrict my gear purchasing this year.
What?
I'm going to slow her on down. Just roll her on back a little bit, you know? Got enough toys. It's all good. And then I was talking to Chris Benson about some stuff. And then I basically did not have a choice. I had to order another amp.
Been there.
I can't talk about the particulars yet, but when it is done, you guys will all understand why I had basically no choice. Even my wife agreed that I had to order that amp. So,
well, that's a sign of a good wife right there.
It's,
you know.
Of course.
But she's like, and you need a new guitar to go with it.
I feel like I've spent the most of this podcast so far talking about how great I think my family is, but you know, this year is going to be my 30th birthday, and she's like, all right, what guitar are we getting you? I'm like, yes, I love you. This is the best 30, thing ever.
30th birthday. Oh man. If I could go back to when I was 30, it'd be like 13 years ago, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's about all I got. Yeah.
That's not that long.
No. No, I'm kidding. I totally had a point and I was gonna make, but it's gone now. I'm sorry. I'm totally sorry. It like literally just dissipated completely into thin air. And it's I had a funny thought that I was getting ready to say with that, and
it's going to be like some Seinfeld-esque comedy that you were about to drop, maybe Dave Chappelle style.
I totally forget. I don't know. I've had several cups of coffee this morning, and I think it's affecting my brain.
It usually does.
Because I feel like a rabbit that's on about 18 cups of coffee. You know? Like if you pour liquid caffeine into a rabbit's veins, it's kind of what I feel like. I don't know why a rabbit, though. I have no idea.
Yeah, why a rabbit? I mean,
that's the first thing that came to my mind. I don't know. Maybe I consider myself a rabbit? I don't know.
Is that your spirit animal?
That's my spirit animal.
As a rabbit?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. excuse me.
Brian Wampler is my spirit animal. There's a t-shirt.
Excuse me. I wouldn't wish that on anyone at all. That'd be horrible and miserable. And, you know, a person would smell funny if they were that. So,
that's not any different than my normal day to day. So far we're fine.
No. So we got hit by a big ice storm here.
Are you iced in?
We were iced in Friday, which is a couple days ago. Yeah. We were completely, well, and I say iced in, it rained. It was like 60 degrees here in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And then overnight it turned to like 20 degrees and it was raining on top of this. And so there was about 3/8 of an inch of ice. I don't know what that is in meters, but it's probably a bunch.
So, it's not a meter.
It's not a meter. It's some version of millimeters. You'll have to do the math. I don't know. But anyway, 3/8 of an inch. And then it snowed like 3 to 4 inches on top of that. So it's just completely, all the roads, it was like wrecks everywhere. And, you know, you couldn't get anywhere unless you had a four-wheel drive truck or a tractor.
Which so, you have both. So
which I have both. So what else can you do but go into parking lots, do some donuts?
Of course.
I mean, you plow the lane and the road for in a neighbor's driveway. So I did that. And then we had a little fun, you know. And, you know, but when that happens, like, there's not, you're stuck in one place. So right. I've basically been eating cheese and crackers for the past 2 days because we couldn't get out.
Oh, man.
No, I'm teasing. Not that bad. I had to.
You had celery, too.
Yeah, I had celery with it, but I mean, yeah.
Oddly, as of yesterday, it's straight gorgeous here. Like, you know, we're usually just gray and wet all winter. It's been fairly dry, but we had a couple days of the standard issue Portland weather, and now it's just like, it's straight gorgeous. It's like, I don't know how warm it is, probably in the 50s, and just clear skies, and I'm like, where am I living right now?
That's not Portland in January, is it?
No. No, we had really weird weather on the good side. It's been like cold and clear quite often, and it's a really nice change. So,
Well, I'm sure it has nothing to do with the climate. So,
probably not. What's the climate?
Oh, yeah.
On the Chasing the Weather and Political Topics podcast, we go into.
Oh, that's what it was. I just remembered what it was.
What?
Okay, so. I don't know how I was going to get there, but here was the thought in my mind.
Okay. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, here we go. Buckle in, folks. Here we go.
I got to slow down on the coffee in the morning. Leviathan. We've talked about this several times. If you're following our Facebook page, you've seen it posted several times.
Maybe there's
a hint there. I don't know. But I had a question from one of our own, Alex Clay.
Yeah.
I think it was Alex asked this. I don't think he may have been asking for a customer. I think it was him. So I know you don't watch videos. A couple weeks ago, I did a video called 12 Things I Learned in 12 Years or something like that. And one of the things was that people don't always gravitate to original circuits. You know, and I was explaining on that video that, like, when I created the Leviathan, I had a ton of people that would ask me, like, is it a fuzz face? Is it a big muff? Like, what kind of circuit? Is it germanium or silicon? And I'm like, no, you're totally not understanding. It's none of those. And you can't really classify it as germanium or silicon because it's not the traditional fuzz circuit. I'm using op amps and transistors in a weird way. Like, it's not what you think it is. And so, that was, I think for us, that was hard for people to kind of wrap their head around. I don't know why. But as such, the Leviathan was not a big seller for the time. So now it seems like we're getting more interest in it. And I think Alex actually bought one from like eBay or something. And that was what he asked me. He's like, is this silicon or germanium? And I'm like, dude, no, you can't think that way. You can't. You got your wrong hat on, dude. You're asking the wrong questions, man. So I guess I would ask you, Mr. Blake, the marketing business guru, if you have a pedal that's not a clone of anything, how are you going to go about explaining that to people that, you know, you can't call it an overdrive that's not a clone and not a tube screamer.
Yeah. So we got to backpedal a little bit on the Leviathan because I got to make a couple notes for everyone. So first of all, it's one of my favorite Wampler pedals. So there's that. And I think that part of the problem, there's a couple problems with the initial release in my opinion. One, I mean, let's be honest, your graphics have improved significantly.
Those graphics are terrible, I gotta admit. Yes.
Two.
I think I picked that font out, if you want to know the truth. I'm like, that's an awesome font, man. Let's go with that. Reason why I don't do that anymore. But anyway, sorry.
Two, I think that the market at the time was still kind of, you know, it was a much different place than it is now. Like, people are much more not only accepting but looking for original designs and original sounding things, like, because, like, at this point there's been 4,000 tube screamers and clones and fuzz right. faces, you know, no one cares.
Yep.
Like, it you know, it's that's just kind of boring to right. a lot of people, so they're searching it out. So I think it has to do with, you know, and then kind of how it was released. It was like, here's an original fuzz design from Wampler, when how it should have been released is, here's an original fuzz design from Wampler, and listen to it just smash faces, you know, like, and it was kind of put out there as more of a standard fuzz, when really it's just like this huge, brutal, you know, really sounds great with drop tuning and all that kind of stuff. It's just like,
it's cool for that type of stuff. Yeah. I always thought it was a great sounding fuzz, man, because it's not trying to be anything else, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I've always liked it.
Yeah. And so that's what I would say. I say you're not really going to have a problem. Just like, if you want to come back out with it, it's not going to be like the Tumnus, right? Like,
that just
appeals to a broader spectrum of people. But I think if you put it out there now and spin it just like we've spun it and make it look cooler.
I'd like to blame all this on the I Love Fuzz forum. I really would. You want to know why? I know what you're asking yourself. Why do you say this? Because I have tried to sign up for that forum like 14 times.
Nope.
And for some reason, they keep denying me. I don't know why. Like, what did I do? Where did we go wrong?
Weird.
I don't. Isn't that strange? Yeah, like, over the years, every time I try to sign up, they're just like, nope. Nope. Sorry.
Well, that's odd.
This is very odd.
That's a forum I keep meaning to sign up for because, like, well, I mean, let's be honest. I love fuzz. So right. I should be on there. Why am I not on there? I have no idea. I've always wondered that. And then I think about it, and then it's like a fleeting thing in my brain. Like, right now, I'll probably forget about it as soon as the mics are off.
Is there an I Love Fuzz Facebook group?
You would think by now there would be.
I mean, like, there should be, right?
If there's not, there's going to be in 5 minutes.
I was going to say. So, I mean, if there's, I'm looking it up right now. If there's not an I Love Fuzz Facebook group, I'll just start my own. I don't need your little crappy little forum or whatever. I don't know.
I've actually heard that, like, I mean, just all kidding aside, I've heard it's a really fun forum to be on, unlike some of the other ones that have kind of turned sour.
No. Yeah, there is an I Love Fuzz Facebook group. Well, I'm going to try to join your little group on Facebook.
The Facebooks.
Try to keep me out of that one. Try to keep me out of that one. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what the deal was. I don't know if it was like some dude who just simply didn't like me or something, which could happen. You get those every now and then. Generally, they're engineers, but... I don't know. I don't know.
I need to join that forum. I'm going to do that.
I'm clicking it right now. Join group. Yes. Ha ha. Oh, it's pending. Great.
Denied. I'm sorry.
You know it's going to be. They're going to just be like, nope. So I don't know what the deal is with that, but I would love to join that. I feel like I'm the kid in class that's not allowed to hang out with the cool kids.
You know? Well, I mean... Yeah. It's kind of we've all way. Been there, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I started creating pedals. I'm like, I'll just make my own. I don't need your stuff. So, I don't know.
What does that have to do with the Leviathan?
Oh. Because I couldn't answer any questions. I mean, at that time, when I Love Fuzz Forum was gigantic and, you know, everyone visited it, it was like the gear page, right? It was mm-hmm. like the gear page for fuzz lovers. And when people had questions, there was no way for me to respond.
You know? Right. Could you? I don't remember. So it's been a long time since I've been in, you know, non Facebook group forums. Is that one that you could see from the outside, even if you weren't logged in?
I think, if I remember right, you could see part of it. Or maybe is it the whole thing? I don't remember. Let me see. Let me see what happens when I go to it. So I go here.
Because I know you can see the website, but I don't remember ever like following any threads in it. But that could right. just
well,
be.
Well, right my now, brain. Okay. So right now, I can. I assume it's all the threads. I don't know for sure. But I mean, I can see some stuff. So some words.
But you can't respond.
But I can't respond. No.
Yeah, okay.
No, there is no way for me to respond to anything.
I am surrounded by fuzz pedals right now. I really need to join that group. There's like a semicircle. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 fuzz pedals just like within stepping distance. I need to join that.
Lucky.
Form. It's part of my psychosis. I've accepted it and I hope everyone else can accept it too.
Well, you'll love this. There's actually a Doom board on this forum. And ilovedoom.org. I wonder if that's an actual website, but that's the name of the board. Let's see what happens when I go to that.
I talk about Doom often with you, but like I'm not like a Doom guy. Like I really like some of the riffs and some of the sounds that come out of that genre.
Right.
But I'm a little like you. I'm a little too high strung to listen to like a whole Doom song because they're like super long and
right. And, yeah, I don't have time for that.
Yeah, and the same kind of riffage, you know, over, which I understand is the point, and that's like what it's supposed to do. But it's just like, man, I really like that riff, but I'm kind of done with it.
Right. No, I get it totally. I mean, to me, I want to say the feel, but I'm not really feeling it. But the sound and when I hear it, and the feel that I would associate with that, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like I like that about it, but to listen to an entire "quote unquote" song,
yeah.
It's got to be bad. Like I can't just do. I'll start thinking about other things and watching YouTube videos or something. Well,
yeah,
you know?
It doesn't. It doesn't pull me in like other, like my favorite kind of stuff.
Like,
does. But
like a good, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a good. Oh, never mind. Totally messed that joke up. I was trying to think of the country artist. Who's a country artist that you hate?
There's lots of them that I hate because they're not country artists.
Luke, that's what it is. Luke, like a good Luke Bryan song. There it is.
No.
Yes.
You are on. I don't think it's just coffee that you've been having today.
Oh.
You are on it.
A little bit of a delay in the punchline, but it's still there. Oh, my goodness.
That's enough nose candy for you for one day.
It's just straight caffeine today, man.
Wow.
Yes.
You are caffeinated. It's bad because I'm like slow. I'm like, I'm tired. I kind of just want to go to bed. This guy's so high strung. It's hurting my head.
I'm like, hey, Blake, hey, listen to this.
And I'm just like, whoa. So, I know something I tried last night, and I don't know if you've ever tried this with any success, and I never have, but speaking of Keeley, and one thing that I can't fully disclose, but I will say, it's a couple compressors. Mm-hmm. This is kind of a weird thing. I've never heard this and thought it sounded good, but it sounded good last night. I took the Keeley Compressor Plus and slammed it, like, volume-wise, just cranked the volume,
right.
And into another compressor.
Yes. That's a very cool sound. Yep.
I've done that before, and I thought it sounded terrible, but this was, like, overdriving the compressor, and it sounded so good. Whoa,
yeah.
It was so cool.
Yeah, some compressor circuits actually have a really cool, and I don't want to say a drive to them, but when you clip that, I'm assuming it's... Well, to me, it's always been like kind of a Dynacompy sort of thing. There's like this little bit of grind on it that's just got this cool feel and sound to it that you don't get with like a quote-unquote studio-type compressor generally.
Right. Yeah, I was a big fan. I'm not a big compressor guy, as you know, and we've discussed many times, but I'm starting to become one. Starting to have a lot more fun with them.
Well, you're not a big clean sound guy, though, right?
Rarely. Right.
So you don't play clean much. You don't play the country and blues. So a guy in your position probably is generally not going to have a whole lot of interest in a compressor because you're not picking any chickens anytime soon.
No, I'm not picking any chickens. And like I got usually, like I've said in many episodes prior, I've usually got so much dirt on that like I've got my compression. It's compressed.
Right. It's compressed. Yeah. Yeah. Anything else, you're just adding noise to it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I'm starting to back off. I'm getting a little more ambient and clean in some regards these days. So
really,
yeah, I'm getting old. You know, that's what happens. You start to mellow out, right?
So you're going in down the ambient route, huh?
I've always kind of been a fan. Not necessarily. I don't like to listen to a lot of quote unquote ambient music. It's not really my go-to listening, but mm-hmm. It is really fun to play. I think I got a lot of fuzz, but I think my second most collected effect would be reverb.
Yeah.
I got a lot of different reverb pedals that I have a lot of fun with, and I'll stack them and I'll get crazy. I've stacked like five or six reverb pedals in a row just to get stupid with before.
You're going to really love me in a couple weeks then. That's all I can say right now. Yeah.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Yep,
are we
done?
Wait, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tell me more.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Tell me more.
Exactly. That's what I was trying to tell you. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's good stuff there. But you know, one thing I noticed about music the other day.
Hey, what? Hey, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. Are you trying to tell me that there's a reverb or something like it coming out maybe at NAMM?
Have you ever had dark chocolate? I'm found out I'm a fan of dark chocolate. I really like it.
Blast you, Brian Wampler. You did that on purpose. You did that.
Guatemalan beans, my favorite coffee.
So help me, I will pause this recording.
There shall be no pauses.
Oh man, you're killing me right now. All right, well, I'm gonna come by your
fantastic
booth, and I'm gonna like purposely not wash my hands and just rub it all over everything at your booth.
You're gonna like, you know, bust your thumb with a hammer or something first, so it's all bloody.
Yeah, or maybe I'll just try to cut my finger off, like our dear friend Co Schneider did. Good.
Yeah,
grief.
I saw that. Oh my gosh, man, with the bandsaw. So I'm sure everybody listening to podcasts has no idea what we're talking about.
Of
so,
course.
Co Schneider on Schneider. Yeah. On Facebook, he posted he about cut his finger off with the bandsaw. Ouch.
Yeah.
I would say
and
don't do
because,
that.
Yeah. And because he listens to the podcast and we've talked about the scabby fingered guy coming up to your booth at NAMM, he said he's going to be Captain Scabby Finger Guy
right.
coming so, up to your booth at NAMM.
So here's my plan. My plan is to get. You ever seen those dish gloves, like the rubber, and they go up to the elbow?
Yes.
I'm gonna have a pair waiting for him. Be like, just put this on. You can take them with you.
Don't remove them while you're in the booth.
Exactly. Play to all you want. You know, play all you want, but just wear these gloves.
Co's amazing. Yeah, I've had the pleasure of hanging out with Co more than once. He's a great dude. So if anyone's going to shake your hand with a bloody finger, you want it to be him.
If there's anybody's bloody hand that I want in my hand, it's his.
That's right. Maybe you could do that movie thing where you cut yours open and you become blood brothers.
Yeah.
No? Is that too creepy?
No, that's a little creepy. And
what
a good way to
from?
Get a disease.
Is that from Dances with Wolves? I don't remember. Something like that.
I don't know. The only movies I watch tend to be like Casey Neistat movies.
What are we even talking about right now?
Well, we were talking about ambience, but you went off in this reverb kick. Because I was actually gonna, I was going to bring this around to a point.
Oh, okay. And that point was?
My the point I was trying to work it to until you kept picking my brain off, trying to just get that out of me. The point I was trying to make it to is that I had a discovery this week. This is a groundbreaking discovery for me.
All right, tell me more.
So I'm sitting here thinking, what happened to kill rock and roll? Like, what happened? Where'd we go wrong? And so I started opening up like Spotify playlists, like popular, you know, like what's the most popular songs people are listening to in this genre, et cetera, et cetera. And so I did something that I said something I rarely do, which is listen to, you know, like a lot of the new country stuff coming out. And keep in mind, some of these guys are my friends, so I'm not putting you down, just not a big fan of where country music in general is heading to, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm listening to some of this stuff, some of the newer artists, and pull up the rock, pull up all these different genres. So I'm noticing something. Rock is turning more into, I don't even know what you would call it. It's almost like kind of genty, maybe? Getting kind of genty with some parts of it being a little more sludgy, kind of approaching a poppy doom, let's say.
Okay.
And then you have the country, which is turning into praise and worship music, right? It's just, I don't know if you listen to it, but it's all like pop beat. You know, the drums are all like drum loops. And, you know, very electro type of thing going on with a lot of ambient guitar over it, which reminds me of praise and worship music.
Okay.
Praise and worship music is basically the same thing, except they're just talking about something different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like in country, they're like talking about how much I love my baby and, you know, she looks good in those boots or whatever. And then praise and worship is more like how much I love my God and, you know, I'm glad to be a Christian or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it's like the same songwriter is writing both of those genres. He's just changing the words. You can't do that. Like, no, that's like, it's like taking a Tube Screamer and putting it in a Boss SD-1 case. Oh, wait.
hold on. That's not a good example.
I was disappointed there wasn't more of a variance among that stuff. Like, I really wish the record companies would stop telling songwriters to stop dumbing things down for me. Give me some variety, man. You know?
Well, see, that's the reason that I don't, and a lot of music nerd people don't, I don't really listen to, like, in each, you know, like, what's the most popular country song right now? I guarantee you it's not going to be something that I like. What's the most popular rock song right now? I almost guarantee you it's not going to be something that I like. Across all genres, and I'm not saying that to be contrarian, I'm saying that I guarantee you, I would bet $100 that if you give me the number one most streamed song in each of the most, you know, top five most popular genres, I'm probably not going to be a big fan of it because of what you just said. It's being...
Right.
I feel like I'm being spoon-fed something not genuine.
Right.
And so I purposely go out and seek out things because I want to hear things that I enjoy listening to. So most people aren't as passionate about it as, you know, maybe probably not even as passionate about it as this podcast audience is. Like, we're kind of... As we've said before, not just with gear, but we're kind of the nerdiest of the nerds. Like
we're outliers for sure.
Yeah, we care. We really care about music. We're the guys going buying a bunch of vinyl records. We're the guys like music is part of our being, so to speak. And so like we're not gonna like anything in the top 40. It's just not gonna happen. So,
right. No, you're exactly right. And
but there's those. So it's an interesting kind of counterpoint. So at my work, you know, one of the guys there really likes like classic rock, which I do too, but he never listens to it. He turns on the country quote unquote station because, and in his own words, he says it's background noise.
Right.
And everyone there treats it like background noise because they don't even hear it.
Right.
And then until I go, you guys realize this is the sixth time they've played this song today, right? I'm getting real sick of this freaking station. And everyone's like, what? Oh, I didn't notice. Because most people don't care that much. It's not, you know, it's not a fault of them.
Right.
They just don't. It's, to me, it's nails on a chalkboard. To them, it's just background noise.
They're not even noticing. It's like the same three chord progressions across all 40 songs.
No.
You're like, we've heard this song. It was just sang by someone different 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, and they don't care. And if it's not their thing, they shouldn't care. They got other things they're into.
Right.
But like, I think that's a lot. That's more of the general population. So is to say that like the most popular stuff is indicative of where the real passionate musicians, you know, kind of lie. I don't think that's very accurate. It's just for a lot of people, it is background noise,
which is a shame because a lot of us musicians who love this stuff that's not popular, well, not a lot, but for the most part, the people that are playing the popular stuff don't even like the popular stuff. You know, they're like, it's a paycheck. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a paycheck and it pays a lot more than paying the stuff I like to play. Mm-hmm. So,
and that's understandable too. I mean, that's very understandable. Like, you know, most people aren't just super pumped to go do whatever they got to do to collect a paycheck. It's only a very fortunate few that are.
And or so, unfortunate, I guess you could say, you know. So you might say. Because sometimes so that take me, for example. Whenever your hobby becomes your job, you lose your hobby. You know, when I just want to go have fun, what do?
Well, that's true. I suppose you get a different hobby. But if you can't, then that is a weird place to be.
That was very hard for me to adjust to. Yeah. And I think that's why I started messing with amps a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
It's because that kind of wasn't working away, you know? I think I found a weird kind of happy medium where I like to buy cheap pedals and just mess with them. And I've talked about that before. It just, you know, for whatever reason, you take a metal zone and turn it into a clean boost, you know? Why? I don't know.
Well, that's sort of similar to, like, what's kind of going on in the Tone Mob right now. Like, we all like high-end gear. It's you know, it's kind of a uniting theme throughout the group, but like my buddy Jess, who's gonna be coming down to NAMM with me, he's got almost all the 7 series pedals right now. We're on a 7 series kick in there right now, and we're just buying all of the 7 series. I think he's only got 5 more to get and he'll have the whole collection.
That's a good one. Yeah. The 5 series is awesome as well. I like a lot of the 5 circuits, to be honest with you.
Oh, great. There's another rabbit hole for us to dive down. You hear that, Jess? We're going to get the 5 series next.
Oh, man. I mean, the cases are plastic. The ones look like little bugs.
Mm-hmm.
But, and the cases, you know, the switches fail pretty quick on them. But the actual circuitry, there's some pretty creative circuits going on there as far as, you know, the analog, you know. And they have an echo, too. There's a digital delay, too. Yeah.
Are these the Sound Tank series? Is that what
Sound Tanks? Yep. Yep.
Oh, man. I got into those for a hot minute, and I kind of forgot about them because I didn't want to mess with jankety switches, but they're cheap enough.
You can replace a switch pretty quick.
That's true.
You know, it's just a little mechanical part. Yeah.
So
you got that. You got the 10 series. You got the old DOD stuff.
Oh, man. I love the old DOD stuff. We've talked about that before. I love it.
Yep. Arion. I love me some plastic Arion pedals. Well, I'm trying to think. I'm trying to see my pedal shelf from here to see what all I got.
Let me tell you, the DOD. I've said this before, and I've said it on this podcast before, but I'm gonna say it again. The DOD FX96 analog delay.
Yep,
it's a DM2 killer.
Yep, it's pretty fantastic, isn't it?
It sounds amazing, and it's like $60. It sounds fantastic.
Yep. Yeah, that's. I guess that's my new hobby. I know I totally interrupted your point you were making. I don't even remember what it was now, but
no, you didn't. I just was saying that like you were researching the most popular stuff, and I said the most popular stuff is probably not necessarily what's important to real music nerds. Right. I guess so.
Right. Well, I will close this podcast with one last point.
Okay.
A popular YouTuber was showing a JHS pedal.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like he had bought, it wasn't a review for the company. So he had bought, which is how reviews generally work in case the audience doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Just a real quick bullet point, gear reviews that you see on YouTube, that's because us manufacturers contact these YouTubers or vice versa. And there's an exchange of money and pedals. And what you get is a paid review. That's generally how it works. Okay. Now, and I did a video about that too. So, this particular YouTuber
mm-hmm.
had a JHS pedal and he liked the sound of it and he opened it up and then he started talking about how he didn't feel it was valuable enough because it had surface mount parts. And he's like, and look at this, you know, the way this is done. I'm not a big fan of that. You know, I don't like
for
these
real?
Kind of, yeah. And, I'm sitting here like
not the surface mount thing again.
Yes. And this is a guy with 200,000 subscribers or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the guy, super nice guy. And so I'm actually, I thought about like, should I contact him and just be like, dude, why didn't you do 3 minutes of research? We have an entire blog about this discussion. Like literally you type in surface mount versus through hole and it like pops up, right? So like mm-hmm. it takes like no research. We did it for you.
Yeah, right.
I mean, like there's and he used to have a music store. So I'm like, you know how this works. There's profit layers of profit from distributor to retailer to et cetera, et cetera. And that's the only way you can sell around the world. You're not going to make a pedal in your garage and sell it in, you know, 500 stores. It's just not going to happen, you know?
It's a different thing.
It's a different model.
We've beat that horse to death,
right,
but like
right. I don't want to, and I don't want to hit that again. I guess it was just a disappointment to see one of my favorite YouTube channels not do due diligence and research it a bit more thoroughly.
You know? Right. Yeah.
So I was sad to see that. And I know I'm intentionally being vague.
It's going to be really hard to figure out. There's no way anyone will ever be able to figure out who you're talking about.
If they look hard enough, they'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
If you look hard enough for, the JHS AT review, you'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well,
so anyways, I'm on your side, Josh, carrying a torch. I got you, man.
I got you, boo. So I yeah, because I mean, just to like, this is a hard one to close out because I got so many thoughts on it. Like, I love, you know, good old school through hole or point to point, you know, like old school style builds with germanium transistors and all
yeah,
that
sexy.
Stuff. I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's great, and it does sound, you know, really good when it's properly done.
Yeah, and they're beautiful inside. I totally get that. Mm-hmm. I would love to be able to do that if we could build, you know, 60,000 pedals that way.
It's just not feasible. And there's some surface mount stuff there that sounds just as good, if not better, depending how yep. it's applied. So
right. That's one of the things I am doing. I'm going to create a video proving that surface mount and through hole can sound exactly the same.
There
like,
you go.
If not better. So, boom.
That's not where I thought we'd end up, but I have to go I have to go baste some ribs. They need a basting.
Well, you are the never mind. That was too easy. I was going to say you're
Don't say it. Don't say it.
You're a
Don't say it.
A man who's very good at basting.
Yes.
There you go.
Okay. Thank you. All right. I'll talk to you next week.
I'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. I hope you really enjoyed this episode. If you have any comments or questions, you can always email podcast@wamplerpedals.com. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.